stand before the throne.
Please remain standing if you're able to do so, so that we can pray together. Let us quiet our heart for a few seconds before we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the cornerstone of our lives. You protect us through the storm and make us strong in the Savior's love. We marvel at your love so that we may build our hope and trust in your righteousness. You are the Most High and Glorious One. You are our light and salvation. When we come to your presence, as one body in Christ, we worship you and proclaim that Christ is the only one for us. Please grant us to follow you to the end, and when we see you, and we praise you because you are worthy. You are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Grant us a softened heart to trust and honor you as you are holy and righteous. Your cross was unpraised to be our refuge. Your blood streamed forth to wash us clean. Your death occurred to assure us. And your name is the way to save us. You are the infinite and powerful creator of all things. May you grant the congregation the joy and the humility in meditating on your Son. His faithfulness, love, and forgiveness, which we do not deserve. In him, we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of your grace. We ask that you grant us to lift our brothers and sisters who are suffering physically and emotionally with family issues, the loss of a loved one who may need your strength and comfort at this time, the graduates who are exploring career changes, struggling spiritually, or going through chemotherapy. May you grant each of them with your love and trust in you so that they may see the delights of your grace and compassionless love and be joyful knowing that you will never leave them. Lord, may you grant the UK STM team good rest. Partner with the local co-workers and the children's ministry with the love of Christ, and complete the logistics in the VBS Discovery Camp. We also pray that you grant us the privilege of knowing you and bless others who are lost amid the troubled world. Thank you for your encouragement and guidance in our life so that we may hear your voice through the living scriptures and live in a Christian life as you have taught us. Strengthen us for the battles ahead in our lives. Give us courage for all the trials and grace for all the joys. Help us to be holy, happy, and free from every wrong desire and everything contrary to our mind. We continue to strive for your will, one by one, until you call us home. We pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Here is his holy word. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, you walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And also that's added supplementary verses from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Here's a reading of his word. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may fill with all the fullness of God. This is the reading of his holy word. Please be seated, and thank you for standing for such a long time. Thank you so much. And good morning, brothers and sisters at the sanctuary and also virtually. My name is David Yuen, and I'm one of the servants at this church. I'm delighted God grant me this moment to share his word, and may you continue to pray for us in such a way that we can follow him. So let me start with the sermon starting last Sunday. As you know, that last Sunday we had two celebrations in worshiping and praise our Lord, Jesus Christ. The VBS Vacations Bible School and the congregation lift our hearts to praise our Lord with singing, and also brought the vibrant singing from the young peoples so that we can worship our Lord in one body and with him also. It also reflects the sermon message that when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you from Psalm 56:3. The interim minister, John Lowe, was sharing at that time. The afternoon celebration occurred on the same day, was to welcome more than 15 brothers and sisters with the awesome family and with the loving Christ. It was a very joyous moment, witnessing each of their proclamation in accepting our Lord through baptism. Indeed, the Mandarin congregation, Cantonese and English jointly celebrate this tremendous birthday. The event dealt with the family and friends. So this event is the beginning of receiving, walking, growing, teaching, and thanksgiving in our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, we will talk about the science, high school science, subject matter in the rock and the tree for a minute. There are three types of rocks, which are igneous, metamorphic, and sedimentary rocks. Recall that good old days. Metamorphic rock goes through the process metamorphism, which involves high temperatures and pressure and creating a strong bonds that take a long time to form. So let me allow to show you what they look like. This is a rock. A rock I got from my garden. You can show the solidity, very solid, and so dense. And age too, because of metamorphic process and the longevity. I look at the internet, basically the average rock is around 50,000 years old. Very strong, heavy, right? Possibly there's some fossil in there. It has been aged tremendously, tremendously. So think of this way, the rock that I'm holding in my hands. So the most resilience and also the taproot with deep roots and the extensive lateral roots that can extend up to 50 meters or 49 feet deep is called the neem tree. The tree reaches around 49 to 98 feet in height. So the neem tree is prominent and known for strong growth on dry land and also in fertile area, similar to the Middle East, that area. So their church. The first slide is that this morning the sermon is titled on the joy of Christian life. The joy of Christian life. It reflects all Christians, Christ followers, new and old, on what is Christian living. Are we as strong as a metamorphic rock and as deep-rooted as the neem tree in our Lord Jesus Christ? Now that you have been baptized, you were through the gospel talk class, right? And also baptismal class on the teaching of the New City Catechism. Share your testimony with the congregation and taking the oath to follow Christ. What will be your next step, brothers and sisters, to have a deeper and concrete relationship with Jesus Christ? I would like to share Pastor Timothy Keller's The Devotion to the Writing of John Calvin on the Life of the Christian Life. Here is his reading. Quote, at one point in his writing, John Calvin lays out the essence of what it means to live the Christian life. He said that he could make us a list of the commandments we should be keeping, or a list of all character traits we should be exhibiting. But instead, he wants to boil it down to the basic motive and the basic principle of what it means to live a Christian life. So the basic motive is that God, our God, sent his Son to save us by grace and to adopt us into his family. So now, because of that grace, in our gratitude, we want to resemble our Father. We want the family resemblance, we want to look like our Savior, and we want to please our Father. So the basic principle then is this. We are not to live to please ourselves. We are not to live as we belong to ourselves. And that means that several things. It means that, first of all, we are not to determine for ourselves what is right or wrong. We give up the right to determine that, and we rely wholly on God's word. We also give up the operating principle that we usually use in day-to-day life. We stop putting ourselves first. And we always put first what pleases God and what loves our neighbor. It also means that we are to have no part of our lives that is immune from self-giving. We are supposed to give ourselves wholly to him, body and soul. And it means that we trust God through thick and thin. Right? It's not quite easy for that, but yet we know that through the good and the bad time and in life and in death. Now, how do the motive and the principle relate? He said, because we are saved by grace. We are not our own. A woman once said to Keller, if I knew I was saved because of what I did, I contributed to my salvation, then God couldn't ask anything of me because I'd contributed. But if I am saved by grace, sheer grace, then there's nothing he cannot ask of me. End quote. And that's right. You are not your own. And I'm not on my own. You were bought with a price through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Tim Keller also recalled that at one of his conferences, the speaker said, quote, how can you come to the grips with someone who has given himself utterly for you without you giving yourself utterly for him? So Jesus gave himself wholly for us, wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy. So now we must give ourselves wholly to him, W-H-O-L-L-Y. So let's dive into today's scripture. Apostle Paul and Timothy are the authors of the book of Colossians. The book is a letter addressed to the church of Colossae, a city in Asia Minor, and was likely written between 58 and 62 AD while Paul was in prison in Rome. So the theme is Christ is Lord over all creation, over all creation. He has safeguarded the redemption of his people, enabling us to participate with him in his death, resurrection, and fullness of him. So dear brothers and sisters, these two verses from us inform us that we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, and Apostle Paul calls the Colossians that back to the fundamental teaching passed on to them by Epaphras when they first became Christians. We also need to be at our heart of confessing that Jesus Christ is the Lord from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Right? Paul uses the images of tree, that's the rooted, and a building, that's the build up, to remind the firm foundation of what has been taught, which is the gospel. The gospel. So Jesus is alive. And it begins with the word therefore. If you look at the verses, therefore is the first word. So in the first Oxford Dictionary, it is defined as for that reason, or consequently. But in Romans 12, 1, it reads, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, and by mercies of God, by mercy of God. So in Colossians, it only links verse 6 to verse 5, but the whole letter from chapter 2, verse 6 on to the whole introduction that concluded in chapter 2, verse 5. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see you good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. It is the connector between these verses. So let me break down the Christian living into two categories. The Christian living, first, receiving. When you become a believer of Christ, you just baptize. You receive Christ, the Jesus, the Lord, right? This is Paul's summation of what you receive when you learn the gospel. He said, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Lord. In this instance, Paul does not mean simply to receive Christ in your heart or in your life, but rather you receive Christ when you heard the gospel and understood the grace of God in truth. In truth, so in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, stated as follows, which has come to you, you indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Understand the grace of God in truth. So this does not stop here when you receive the gospel. It continues to teach the gospel from those who went through and pass it down or deliver to others, who in turn receive it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it said, For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. You will ask, deliver what? What did you deliver? It is the gospel. And the teaching surrounded nothing but only the gospel. So as I mentioned earlier from previous sharing, Auntie Karina and I were baptized in a place where we were not taught in depth of the gospel, but rather we attended weekly fellowship and learned his word with no deep guidance. I don't believe that we share our testimony in the group, I don't recall, but we did profess our faith at the bathtub in a brother's house. At that time, we did not learn much about Christian living and receiving the gospel and teachings, which were limited to in the form of VHS and cassette tapes. Now, you want to know VHS? Search on the internet. Okay. The other thing is walking. Walking is very important, right? As you receive the Christ, our Lord Jesus. So walk in him. How do you walk with Christ? How do you walk with Christ? What are you going to say when you walk with Christ? And what action should I take? And what action should I take? Walk means how we walk in life, how we move through life, how we move through life. So in the past couple of years, I have been walking with a few brothers and for chatting, listening, praying, and also had lunch together for a couple of years. So we talked the opportunity to exercise because of walking, share what is happening in our life, pray for each other, and walk with open ears to listen and be involved with daily life, transforming each other with joy and understanding the family's needs. Walking will lead us to see a different perspective in certain situations and the life by just being with that person, with their brothers. So Paul's message is the receiving is not the whole, but the beginning of Christian life. So Christian life to be lived, and as you receive the Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, walk in him. So in scripture, Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, it reads, so us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, by loving and caring, praising, fully pleased to him, bearing the fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Back to gospel, back to teaching. So the message is informing us on the actual conduct and behavior of the Christian person. What you do, what you say, what you don't do, what you don't say, no longer can I walk for myself as I please. Wherever I am, whatever I am doing, Jesus is the Christ and the Lord. So your Christian characteristics and behavior in your daily life do affect your day-to-day living. They do affect your living. Co-workers at work, friends and family. When I was working, a couple of former colleagues recognized that my behaviors and beliefs in the office, respecting my presence at the meetings and knowing that I am a Christian in Christ, because of your characters, your appearance, your action, and your attitude. Next, Christian growing. How do you grow as a Christian? The roots are mentioned the tree, right? You might ask, rooted in what? What do you mean by rooting in a tree? When we moved to Somerset a couple of years ago, one of the projects was to cultivate a flower bed in front of a house. So I began digging and digging. Somehow tree roots were everywhere, and they were deep and widely spread. It took extremely strenuous energy to remove them. And it seems that the roots just did not have an ending. Every time I dug, they're more. So the roots were quite deep, wide, and thick. So Uncle David, myself, basically, was quite exhausted, very exhausted. So this is what Jesus Christ wants us to be rooted in him. We are utterly dependent on him. How good it is to be dependent on one so holy, so wise and faithful, right? We who have been planted in such Christian faith come from the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have been rooted and planted. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, it said, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, my hearts also, through what? Through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, grounded in love, only his love. So the next one, the building and build up in him, right? So we're growing the root, now we're build it up. When I worked in New York City, One World Trade Center on the 24th floor, the building was opened on November 3rd, 2014. It is 104 stories, tall as 1,776 feet high, with 2,000 pieces of shimmering prismatic glass. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. When it's windy, you experience the door closing itself. It's quite scary when you work in office, the door closed by itself. But the foundation is nearly 60 meters, almost 200 feet deep, and the tower's footprint is 200 feet square. So the design is indeed will withstand severe impacts from outside sources. So indeed, this building is a magnificent work and design. The foundation is rooted deep into the rocks of Manhattan, which will withhold all sorts of exterior forces or impact. Paul's message this morning is that to remind us to walk in him, rooted and built up, just like what we see in the World Trade Center. As we have been planted, we need to grow and build up in him, brothers and sisters. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, so as we to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Remember, we have to increase, understand the knowledge of God. We are a follower. Christian growth will not occur in some type of richer soil or some stronger foundation than the Lord Jesus Christ. All the precious joy and building up relationships to be found only in him, only in him. Remember that the trees are rooted and the buildings are built up, right? So you can see that even more clearly in Paul's writing. He said we are rooted, that is, our roots are sunk in solid, just like the rock I show you, through the cornerstone of our Lord, Jesus Christ, and we are also built up, that is, on a solid foundation. It would never shake. So there are two things to avoid, brothers and sisters, two things to avoid. One would be to think that you can be planted in Christ and not grow. You could have the foundation laid, but no building. You're weak. You don't have a foundation. Everything we do is laying the foundation. The only thing to avoid is pursuing growth that is not in him. So growing intellectually, even in the theological and biblical knowledge, may not be being built in him because of your knowledge and everything. But here we learn the principle, the principle. It is from Christ, with Christ, and in Christ. Let me repeat, it is from Christ, with Christ, and in Christ that we are to build, that we are to grow together in him. Okay, so what is the understanding of Christian life? Christian life understanding is very important too. The establishment and being established in the faith. So Paul makes the point explicit. Walk in him. Walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established. That word puts all the emphasis on firmness and solidity. A tree that is rooted firm and establish a solid ground and rock, right? It is not easy to blow over, but remains reliable and strong. So walk as a Christian whose roots are deep in Christ, so that nothing in the culture or any adversity can uproot you or blow you away. The Christian life, brothers and sisters, the Christian life is more than just being taught the gospel. It is being established in the faith, in the faith. That is, in the faith you were taught from the Lord Jesus. So a growing Christian will be keen to go on learning, eager to be taught more, so he also needs to grow in confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. So in Colossians chapter 1, 23, it reads, if indeed you continue in the faith, again, I'm stressing the faith also, stable and steadfast, not shifting from anywhere the hope and the gospel that you have learned and heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, our Lord, and of which Paul said he became a minister. Dear brothers and sisters, Faith is our connection to the root. Faith is the connection to our root. God established us in Christ through what? Through our faith in him. How do you sink our roots into Christ? You trust him, right? You trust him. You trust his promises. You trust his work. You trust his person. You trust him to be a good foundation, to be a good food for you, and to meet your needs every day. You walk by faith, and Jesus is the supplying the root. Our part is to stay planted right where we are and keep sinking the root of faith into his solidity and his nourishment because of that. Next, we mentioned about the teaching. So Paul becomes very practical. He was very practical. He showed how we grow in this root and through our faith, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught. Just as you were taught. So our faith is nourished. Our faith is nourished through teaching his word. His word. Jesus is a person with thoughts. He did things. He is a certain kind of person. And we know that to know these things, we have to be taught about him. So our faith makes its way down into solidity and nourishment of Christ through the teaching that the apostle gave us about him. Paul also repeatedly, the emphasis we imply in the receiving in verse 6. And what you were taught at the beginning continue to be shaping influence on your life. Next, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We're not talking about the November Thanksgiving, but although it does involve with that, but yet for the Christian life, it's rounded off with a marvelous, tremendous, marvelous flourish, abounding in Thanksgiving. Abounding in Thanksgiving in your Christian life and my Christian life. This is what Paul had prayed in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So the Christian life is the experience of God's grace from the beginning to end. Let me repeat that one more time. The Christian life, our life in Christ, is that the experience of God's grace, his grace, start from the beginning to the end. So other kinds of human growth, development, achievement easily lead to self-satisfaction, self-importance, or superiority. Walking in Jesus Christ the Lord, being built in him, being established in faith, leads to what? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. So often in Scripture, thanksgiving arises after the event occurred, right? More often, after God has answered the prayer, brought the rescue and trembled the enemy, but among the many examples of post-deliverance thanksgiving, we find several striking examples of Christians thanking God before the incident begins. For instance, alongside Jehoshaphat's army, we might recall that Daniel did when faced with the king Darius in saying decree. He said, whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O God, shall be cast into the den of lions, which is in Daniel 6, verse 7. Daniel would not, could not endure a month of prayerless days, much less than petition to create a dust, right? So he got down to his knee 3 times a day and prayed, as he has done previously. So Daniel, however, did more than that. He did more than that. What did he do? He gave thanks before his God, before this happening. Then let king raise the lion and lions roar, but Daniel will still be heard saying, thank you to his God. And with this weapon, he silenced fear, proclaimed God's faithfulness, and so trusted in his God all through the awful night. So it is quoted that under God, thanksgiving can become not only the raised cup after the battle, but the drawn sword beforehand. The drawn sword beforehand. From John Bloom, from Design God, this quote. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew how to thank his Father before the 4,000, where they spent 3 days together, were fed, which is stated in Mark chapter 8, verse 6, as he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and having given thanks. And before Lazarus shook off his grave clothes in John 11, 14, and he said, Father, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You have heard me. And even before his betrayal, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to disciples in Matthew 26, 27. So under God, thanksgiving can become for us on declaring God's steadfast love against unbelief. It can become not only the raised cup after the battle of sins, but also the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, final, we talk about the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 19, which say again, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts from what? Faith again, faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. That is breadth and length and height and depth. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, as I mentioned earlier, our knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God and his blessing. All right? So the purpose of rooting and grounding is to set at the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of Christ's love, as we have expressed also in the rocks, the way solidity and the trees, how it grows and the root so deep. So if our roots are growing deep in the love of Christ and clearly explain the word of death, if our branches are going up high in the length of Christ, that explain the word height. And if this foundation is spreading in every direction like a strong root, so there is no place where he is not a great sufficient foundation, that would account for the breadth and the length of the love of Christ. So the point in the joy of Christian life, brother and sister, because we are rooted and built up in Christ, we have begun to grasp the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of his love for us. We live off of this, and we are rooted in that. We are established in his infinite love for us. We flourish and we ground it in his living gospel. We ground it in his living gospel, nothing else. So may we seek to learn continuously with joy and humility to fulfill his call, to reach the lost soul, brother and sister, for the newly baptized brother and sister also, and be Christ-like through prayers and sanctify our living with his word. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, may your Son, Christ Jesus the Lord, bring us all together as you have taught us how to walk with you in love and be salt of the earth and the light of the world to reach the lost souls. Christ our hope in life and death. We cast ourselves on you mercifully. Fatherly care also. You love us because we are your own and in your image. We have no good apart from you, and we could ask for no greater gift than to belong to you. May you guide us to build a deep-rooted relationship in breadth, length, height, and depth. We pray all this in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Thank God for the message by Elder David. Let's all rise together. In response, let's praise our Lord Jesus.